You know, I was standing back there a little while ago, and I was thinking to myself, how blessed is Landmark Baptist Church to be part of all of this? Yes. Isn't there something special? Yes. I mean, there's people in this group right here that'll go all over the world, bringing God's Word, teaching God's Word, preaching God's Word, and your church gets to be part of that. And man, that's no small thing. I'm just overwhelmed. I feel like I'll be up 3 days from now just because I'm here today, and I'm so excited. I'm so thankful for Pastor Carter, what he stands for, and his vision here, and to have this school. I wonder if you even imagined this all those years ago, Pastor, and where people would be and where they would be going. I thank him for the invitation. I thank Dr. Lewis and the other professors. There's so many great people here at Landmark Baptist College, and those of you who are graduating from school this year, I know a good college for you. And I want to take a moment to congratulate the graduates. And you know, it's no small thing to graduate from college. I mean, it's huge. And you deserve all the congratulations. You deserve a attaboy. But somewhere, I don't want to get lost in my little charge tonight that I'm proud of you. I'm excited. I couldn't be happier for everything you've done. I've seen you here at school, all of you. I've played nine square with you. These guys change completely when they play nine square. It's like Jekyll and Mr. Hyde there. I mean, they just, we'll talk about that later. But I've seen you in your classes. I've seen you in the I see your reverence for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for that. God's Word should be taken very seriously, and I thank God for this school. And I thank God for you graduates who've taken it that serious to be here. One out of five people who graduate from high school will ever graduate from college. That's how big of a deal it is. But it even goes bigger than that. Out of every 100 graduates, one will be a Bible college graduate. And out of those graduates, are you ready for this? One out of 75 will be a fundamentalist and believe the way we did. It's no small thing to be sitting where you're sitting tonight. It's no small thing for the work you've done tonight. God has certainly blessed you, and God has used you mightily, and it's just the beginning. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Acts 27 tonight. Acts 27, starting in verse number 21. When you get there, if you could stand with me in reverence to God's Word tonight. I'm going to preach a very quick charge on things that I learned in the Army that apply to God's Army. And you're going to hear that Yankee thing going on, so I'm going to apologize one more time. I got that. I'm still in language school. I've got some y'alls down, and some you'll hear some Southern accent come out, but I'm still working on it, so hang with me. But we're in Acts 27:21. I want to share a few thoughts with you about things we learned as leaders in our Army that apply to God's Army. All right, Acts 27:21. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Dear God, we come in front of you tonight, and we're overwhelmed at the work you've done here at Landmark Baptist Church and College. We're overwhelmed, Lord, at the obedience of these students who are sitting in front of me graduating tonight. But God, we realize that even with the hard work and the wonderful dedicated staff behind me, better than all I've ever met, that you alone have worked in lives. And God, we give you the honor and glory for these graduates. We give you the honor and glory for their parents. We come to you, Lord, and we thank you, and we beg you that all of the days of their life that they would stand in service to you, that, Lord, there would be no compromise, that Lord, it would be the same today forever. Lord, we love you. We need you. Do a work in our hearts. Be with these graduates always, in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. What a day. What a day. I want to share a few points with you. I told you the first thing I learned in the Army that I think we need to understand as Christian soldiers is we need to know our regulation. I mean, in the Army, that's a big deal. You got to know, it's power. In the Army, if you know your regulation and you know it better than other people, man, people come to you and they say, hey, Sergeant Major, what does this mean? How does this go? When you show up at basic training in the Army, they give you a soldier's manual. It's about that big and it's about that thick. And your responsibility is whenever you have any downtime, any, you open up that book and you read chapter by chapter. And you know what that book does? It teaches you how to recognize rank. It teaches you how to load your gun and aim it and shoot it. It teaches you what an enemy looks like. It teaches you what a friend looks like. It teaches you how to live your life as a soldier. It teaches you how to wear your uniform. It teaches you how to act at all times. It teaches you how to walk. It teaches you how to talk. Well, you know, when you're in college, you know what they've done for these last years? They taught you how to be a soldier. They've given you this regulation. They've taught you how to load your gun. They've taught you how to aim it. They've given you the gospel. They taught you how to sharpen your sword. Praise God, don't ever put your sword away. Have that sword right out there. They showed you how to put your armor on. I love 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My friends, have your regulation. Know your regulation. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want a light on your path? Know your regulation. You want to know where you're going? Know your regulation. You want to act right with God? Know your regulation. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Know your regulation. Your regulation is power. These are the holy oracles of God. This is the inerrant word of God I hold in my hands. Folks, know your word of God. Know your regulation. Point number two, always prepare for your mission. Always be prepared for your mission. In the Army, there's nothing worse than not being prepared for a mission. Man, when you show up and you're not prepared and you stand in front of those soldiers, you know what they tell you out there? They said, leader, don't you ever go in front of one of my soldiers and not be prepared to train him. You know what God wants you to know tonight? Don't you ever go in front of one of his soldiers and not be ready to train him. Don't be a last-minute preacher where you steal something off the internet. Don't be a last-minute teacher where you're looking at something at 7 o'clock in the morning when you should have been looking at it every night. Man, you got the training. You got the book. Prepare for the mission. You can do it. You hold within you more than most students will ever get in any Bible. I remember in the Army, we were driving. We had the coolest van in the Army, even back in the early 2000, and the general called and he said, Sergeant Major, I want you to go with me. And when the general calls and says that, you can't say, well, General, I really don't feel like going with you today. You just can't do that, Pastor. You know what I'm saying? Just say, well, I think it would be better if you took my assistant. So I hopped in this van. It was a Mercedes van. And I mean, the driver took off and we're going down the road. We're on the Autobahn and we're going about 100 miles an hour in that Mercedes van. And the general and I are talking, and this colonel and I are talking, and we're laughing, and we're having a good time. And the general looked out the window and said, Sergeant Major, are we heading toward Grafenberg? And I looked out the window and said, no, sir. It looks like we're almost in Rhineland. He said, Rhineland? I told the driver to go to Grafenberg. So the driver at this point realized what was going on, turned white as a ghost. I said, Private, aren't we supposed to be going to Grafenberg? He says, that's what I just heard. I said, where did you think we were going? I forgot to ask. Always prepare for your lesson. I love Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart every night. Prepare your heart every morning. Be ready. Be ready to serve. Serve God. Man, always prepare for your mission. Never go on a mission unprepared. As a preacher who's done that before, I got on my knees and begged God for forgiveness. Always be prepared for your mission. Point number three, wearing armor is important. I don't know about you, but think about this. In the Army, one armor vest is just 25 pounds. In basic training, they make you put on armor and wear that crazy thing around for the whole week of M16 training. You got to wear a helmet. You wear certain things on your legs. And you say, well, why do you got to wear all that stupid stuff all the time? Because if some idiot turns around with that M16 and shoots at you, you don't want to die. Armor is everything. Man, armor's important. Armor stops bullets. Armor stops the enemy from winning. Armor stops the enemy from defeating you. You sleep in your armor in a battle zone. You wear armor all the time. So that's why you wear a 25-pound armor vest, a 3-pound helmet. You carry a backpack. A backpack. Are you ready? 60 to 100 pounds. Folks, put on your armor. Wear your armor. Ephesians 6:10. I love this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. Folks, don't be the kind of Bible college graduate or preacher or teacher that goes out there that's not strong in the Lord. Don't do this on your own power. You got the power of God behind you. You got the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. I mean, think about it. Go out there with the power of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Make no mistake about it, folks. The devil wants your ministry. The devil wants your marriage. The devil wants your family. The devil wants your church. The devil wants your testimony so he can use it against you. And you may say, well, I'm only a teacher, or I'm only, you're a teacher for God Almighty. You're standing up for God Almighty. Folks, wear your armor. Another point that I love is lead, follow, or get out of the way. You know, folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than a yellow-bellied pastor that doesn't do any leading. There's nothing worse than some Christian school teacher who stands in the classroom and has got to go get Mr. Hebert or something like that to come down and talk to the kids. Be a leader! You know, Thomas Paine said that during the Revolutionary War. He went out to this general out there and he said, General, what are we going to do? And the general said, I don't know. He said, General, lead, follow, or get out of our way. We heard the expression again during the Battle of the Bulge, and a leader had went out there and he froze in the middle of the field and he laid on the ground in a hole, Pastor. And as he was laying there and as he was in that hole, one of the men yelled out and said, Sir, lead, follow, or get out of our way. We want to win. We want to go on with this battle. We want to win. During the Civil War, probably General Chamberlain was the most decorated Union officer. He was wounded 6 times. He's very famous for being at Little Bighorn. General Chamberlain grew up in Maine. And while he was up in Maine, he went to college. He went to Bowdoin College and graduated with a degree in history and rhetoric. And then he went to the seminary for 3 years. And the war started, and he started reading his Bible, and he says, I need to stand for something that's right. So he joined the Army. He ended up in Pennsylvania, and all these other officers and these higher-ranking officers were telling him, protocol says we swing around like this if they come this way, and we swing around like that. The bullets started flying, and Chamberlain kept yelling, where's the protocol? No one's here. That day, Chamberlain led his men down that hill and wiped out an entire division. Got a Medal of Honor. You see, folks, we need to lead, follow, and get out of the way, even in the ministry. I had a friend of mine, he took a church, he called me up, he said, Brother Doug, God has called me to this church. He was pastoring of a church of about 150 people that I got him. And everything was going good. It seemed like it was on automatic pilot. And I thought the church was coming around. And he called me one day, he said, Brother Doug, you need to find me another church. God wants to move me. And I started looking around, and he called me up a few weeks later. And he said, Brother Doug, you haven't called me. Do you got a church for me? And I said, Brother, the only one I got is smaller than the one you got. And they're in perils. The church is imploding. Everything's upside down. They haven't had a leader there in years. He said, well, I better get there. Folks, I'm here to tell you that he showed up with 25 people 7 years ago today. I preached his missions conference, and the low night was 225. You see, you need to lead, follow, or get out of the way. In Acts 20:26, it says, wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, hath made you overseers to feed the church of God that he hath purchased with his own blood. Feed the church of God. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Another point, bad decisions don't get any better when you're desperate. Folks, don't make a bad decision. They don't get any better when you're desperate. You know, I had a friend of mine tell me, he said, we planted a church years ago, and when we were planting this church, Pastor, a friend of mine, a very able, very seasoned pastor told me, he said, Doug, you need a cabinet of counselors. And don't make them your yes men at the church. He said, you need people you can call. You've been in the ministry a short time. Have some pastors you can call. Have some people. You got some good people right here you can call. Folks, bad decisions don't get any better. I love here in Proverbs 11:14 where it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Bad decisions don't get any better when it's a bad time, or don't get any better when you're desperate. Finally, I got a couple more, but this is a good one. Grow up. Grow up. They used to tell us that in the Army all the time. I hated that. They'd say, grow up. I remember one time I went in and I went into the commander and I said, sir, the men are tired. We've been going at this for 2 days straight. It's just training. Nobody's been eating. Everybody's upside down. These guys are used to playing video games. Their thumbs are going crazy. They're in withdrawal. I said, sir, I don't know what to do. One guy has been mumbling Game Boy every 30 minutes. His life is upside down. I'll never forget the old man looked at me and said, grow up, Sergeant Major. And go tell those boys over there to grow up. You know what? It's time to grow up. I love Galatians 6:4. It says, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall he be rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Don't look for somebody to do your job for you. You won't believe how many people call me up and say, do you know somebody who could come up here and run my witnessing program and maybe do all my Sunday school teaching, maybe clean the church, run the music program, yeah, maybe fix the vans? I said, Pastor, do you need somebody to do all your work except preach on Sundays? He says, yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. You know what, folks? At least he was honest. Grow up. Be ready. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit malice your children. But you guys are grown up, aren't you? Graduating from college here. Howbeit malice, be ye your children, but in understanding be men. In understanding be men, be ladies. You should always, number 7, you should always look like a soldier. Man, I tell you, some people don't like that, but you should always look like a soldier. You know, in the Army, we had these sayings. We'd say things like, when does an NCO need a haircut? Never. When does a guy's uniform need to be pressed? Never. When should a guy look bad? Never. Listen, folks, you should always look like a soldier. I can't help but, you know, I always end up with Gideon whenever I preach a message, but I love Judges 8:18 where Gideon's talking and he captured these guys and then said he, in Judges 8:18, then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom slay at Tabor? And he answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled children of the king. What a testimony. You know, you could read secular history about Gideon's men. You can go through time. You could study out the Bible. And you know what? They all look like Gideon. They all look like they serve God. They all look good. They all had the right clothes on. They didn't go out there dressing like a bunch of fools. They look like they serve God. Folks, you look good tonight. Always look that way when you're serving God. I mean, that one time you go running to Dunkin' Donuts and you can ask anybody here and you got your gym shorts on and your muscle shirt, there'll be 5 people there from church, I promise. And they'll be talking about it for the next 16 years. Next point, doing the minimum is never enough. We have a term in the Army that's bad, and that term is spotlight soldiers. If you're a spotlight soldier, this is the way it works. They would send us to dig a hole and do manual labor, and we'd be out there, we'd be digging holes, and all of a sudden this guy, I never forgot, I just showed up at this new company, and I was just out of training, and this guy said, Carrier, go over there and dig a hole, and it went downhill. I was the lowest rank, and I dug in that hole, and I'm digging the hole, and all of a sudden the guy says, let me in there, Carrier, I got it. And I hopped out of the hole, I said to the ground, I went, shoo. Just about then, the commander and first sergeant pulled up with the Jeep. They said, Carragher, what are you doing? I said, well, I just got out. Oh, sure you did. That guy was watching for the Jeep.
Yeah.
Don't be a spotlight preacher. Get out there and do some work. Don't be afraid of a little work. Don't be a spotlight teacher. You know, you should have the nicest classroom in the entire school. You're a Landmark Baptist College graduate, man. Your classroom should look good. You know what it says in Colossians 3:23? It says, in whatsoever you do, do it heartily, not as unto the Lord. whatever you do, do so heartily, as to the Lord and not as unto men. Wow, don't be a spotlight soldier. Never be a spotlight soldier. You know, I had an old Bible professor years ago. He was an older gentleman. He would come in and he'd teach about two classes a semester. He was 98 years old. And everybody would harp on every word. People would bring in video cameras. And people would take notes. People would take shorthand. And he'd give away money. The guy would give away money sometimes, so he drew a real big crowd. He'd give away $100 bills. He lost some of his mind, but not when it came to God. And he sat there, and he always had a lesson every night. And he sat there one night, and I never forgot this. He looked at us and says, as a pastor, as someone who serves God as a teacher of full time, you got a choice. You can be a lifeboat. Think about this, folks. He says, you got a choice. Hang on a second here. He says, you can be a lifeboat or you can be a showboat. It's your call. I never forgot that. Don't be a lifeboat out there. Another point, never leave anyone behind. I met a guy in the Army that changed my life. I met a master sergeant when I was at the Sergeant Major's Academy. He was a Vietnam veteran. And he came in, and Pastor, someone had to help him get up behind the platform. And I never forgot that. And this man got up. He said he traveled with him everywhere he went. And he carried this man up behind the podium. And he got his braces on it. He put him on his braces. And the man got up there and spoke. But before he spoke, a fellow over here at another podium introduced him. And he said, this man, now the reason he didn't have a Medal of Honor is you need two witnesses. But they broke into a prisoner of war camp in Vietnam. And when they went into that prisoners of war camp, they got all the prisoners except one guy that was in what they called a heater. They had him all covered up. He was in there 30 days. And the other soldiers said, don't worry about it. Don't waste your time. He'll be dead by tonight. And they were all outside, and they told the commander, they said, we got everybody but one guy, but he's almost dead. Don't worry about him. And this one private raised his hand and said, I'm worried about him. And the guy said, you don't understand, private. He's going to be dead by tonight. He said, well, he's going to be dead with Americans tonight. And this private picked up his M16, and he ran onto that base, and he got shot three times. And he pulled that guy out of the hole, and it was almost like the guards and the people in the stands didn't see what was going on. They said, what in the world is this guy doing? He was shooting him, and he dragged this guy down the road, and he brought him out there, and he lived. And years later, that man who got shot three times became a cripple, and the man he pulled out of that place carried him around. And I asked that man on the side, I went over and shook his hand, and I said, Sergeant, I said, why'd you do it? And he said, because my Lord and Savior Christ celebrated over one sheep that was lost, that was found. And he says, I'm not gonna leave anyone behind. Folks, everybody matters to God out there. Every single person matters to God. Never leave anybody behind. And the last one, this is it. Never forget whom you serve. Never forget whom you serve. Let me tell you, folks, you don't serve the President of the United States. He don't even hold the light to God Almighty. You don't serve no pope or potentate or any other man-made office. You serve the Savior of the entire world. I was thinking about military times where people remembered who they served. I remember I read one story the other night. I was blown away by this, but this corporal in Italy got an entire German brigade to surrender to him. And this German general came up to him and said, who do you think you are? He says, I represent the President of the United States. That's who I think I am. And all these fellas behind me represent the President of the United States. And sir, you can salute me right now, or we'll take you and put you as someone who's not obeying. I like that. You know, I read this one story. Cold Harbor was the worst battle in the history, probably, of the United States of America. I don't think anybody would argue about that. To this day, Cold Harbor, when General Grant, then President Grant, wrote his memoirs, he said, if I had to do it all over again, that second attack on Cold Harbor would have never happened. But the end of the war was coming, the supply line was getting open, and Grant decided a very dangerous frontal assault would win the war. He thought in his own mind that if he put just a ton of people in there, and he didn't realize that the enemy had all these fortified positions, and they killed thousands, tens of thousands of these men. And these men died, and they lost the battle, and these guys went out, and they sent telegrams up, and the rebels started chanting, remember Cold Harbor, remember Cold Harbor, to scare the guys and to scare them away. And all of a sudden, the Yankees went up and they started They started sending telegrams that said they're telling us to remember Cold Harbor, and Lincoln ordered them to get the supplies there immediately. He ordered every troop on the East Coast to go join them, and they totally demolished the enemy and within days had a surrender. Don't forget who you serve. Don't ever forget who you serve, and remember what your Savior did for you. Remember Calvary. Remember Calvary. Remember Calvary. Remember Calvary. Don't forget Calvary. Praise God. The verse we started with. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained harm and gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am." Paul said, "I told you, God told me not to let you guys leave. I told you not to leave, but don't worry. I've got a direct connection to God. And if you stay on this ship, you're going to be all right. We're going to lose the ship. We'll probably grab a hold of some boards. I don't know how it's going to work, but God's going to take care of us. You know what your job is? You go tell that world out there, I don't know how it's going to be, but God's got your back. And when he saves you, there's nothing on this earth you need to worry about. There's people out there in pain tonight. You know, these two biker groups in Waco, Texas, just tonight, they shot up each other. Folks, it's everywhere. People are killing each other. There's drunk drivers. But here's the good news. You got the regulation. You know how to use the regulation. You've got the training. You know how to load your gun. You know how to sharpen your sword. You know how to carry your sword. You're as ready as anybody will ever be. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful for this opportunity to charge the best of the best. Oh God, and I pray to you tonight that you would use these ladies and these men, these gentlemen. I pray, Lord, that you would give them fruitful ministries, that even now, Lord, you prepare the hearts on whom you would have them serve. Oh God, use us. Lord, I pray that you would bless Landmark Baptist College, Landmark Baptist Church, these professors, Pastor Carter and his family, for their faithful service. God bless them.